Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today and being with us in this journey as we talk about the issue today, seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. How do you view our nation? Do you view it as being worthy of fighting for, of standing for, of coming out of the closet? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just speak very candidly for a moment. If you're a Christian, if you're a conservative, if you're a pastor, it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Back in the era of our founding fathers and our founding documents, where they were willing to pledge their fortunes, their future, as I'd call it, their life, liberty, and their future, pledging that for the sake of having a nation that we have today. Shouldn't we recognize what we have at risk and take a stand? You can join in this dialogue and discussion today at any moment. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What are your passions? What are your concerns? Are you concerned about the Biden administration and what is taking place and what they're doing? I'm looking at my book of 2012. I believe it was published in 2012. Title of the book is simply, Is It Time for Revolution? Will It Be the Battlefield or the Ballot Box is the subtitle. And I'm looking at page 5, where 5, 6, and 7, I outline the 33 charges that were brought against the King of England that caused the separation and ultimately the formation of America. He refused his assent to laws. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate pressing importance. He's refused to pass other laws for accommodation of larger districts of people. He's called together legislative bodies to place unusual, uncomfortable, and distant reasons for their public records. He's dissolved representative House members. He's refused for a long time of such dissolution. And I could go on and on and on. There's a couple of them that's very, very pertinent. He has obstructed the administration of justice. He's made judges dependent upon his will alone. He's erected a multitude of new officers, et cetera, et cetera. And we see that taking place today. And yet somehow, some way, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there's a feeling, well, that's just the way the government ought to run. In fact, I have talked with a number of so-called Christians today that says, well, we lived through Obama. We lived through Jimmy Carter era. We lived through the Clinton era. And so we'll survive this. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The satanic, demonic move into socialism and communism has been on the creepy, crawly track for about 100 years. We're watching the exponential wrap-up of the final overthrow of the United States of America. We're watching communist China come in and dominate our nation. And Joe Biden and his family, I call it the Biden cabal, are bought and paid for by China. So do you think they're going to do anything to prevent the Chinese domination of America? Let me just say this. I've said it before on the broadcast. Perhaps you recall it. And looking at the eschatological text of the scripture, that is prophecy, America is not in the prophetic text at all. In the final days, of the wrap-up of this world, United States of America doesn't exist. The question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Where will America be? I believe it will have been assumed and become a puppet state of the Chinese Communist Party. And I say that, ladies and gentlemen, because when you look at Revelation chapter 9, you see a 200 million man army marching, and the only army in the world, past, present, and future, that will have that number would be China. You look at Daniel chapter 11, verses starting with about 36 through about verse right page, left column, about 40, verse 42, you find the word coming out of the Far East, and it frightens the Antichrist in that final battle for the overthrow and the domination of the world. So may I say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the grave danger that is before us and what the Biden administration is doing. Dan, I have with me today, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Ort. Dan is in his journey of reclaiming America, and what we need to do for that is to get back to the true history of America and what is taking place in our nation today. Dan, we talked about a moment ago the method of getting the message out by the colonists. That was through the preachers. The primary thing they used in that era, and the primary thing that I believe God would have us to use today, the pulpits in America.
Yes.
Could you give a little enlightenment from your perspective? Why do you think the pulpits are silent?
Well, once again, I'm no expert on anything. I'm just a common man believing in the blood of Jesus Christ saved me and allows me to sit here with you today and try to be that warner of the messenger.
Yes.
We've had several messengers go before us,
mm-hmm.
and you're, you know, well aware of them. And their messages were ignored. They were scoffed at. They were taken, belittled by the media and by the powers to be. And we are now suffering the fact that their messages weren't adopted and fought for. So today, you're basically the modern messenger today. And you have spoke nothing but the truth on every program. Now, for the ministers, they bought into the lie. They accepted the fear,
yes,
that they didn't have the right to represent God as God called them to do. So they watered down their message to the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they weakened the church,
yes,
from within. And the evil government saw that that church is now weakened. The,
yes,
church is now in a position to be taken over,
yes,
to be dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And if that be the case, then the people are weakened from lack of knowledge,
yes,
and to be dominated. And they have taken full advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
They are now in position to deny us the right to worship.
Yes.
They've kept the churches closed with this fake COVID.
For almost a year.
Almost a year, yes. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the loss that God's people have suffered during this year? The time lost,
yes,
of learning and living a Christian life?
Well, it has caused a greater falling away, Dan. Most, perhaps, our listeners are not aware of this, and multitudes are, and they're silent. The Scripture says in the days before the Antichrist steps on the scene, the days before the church is raptured out, there'll be a great falling away,
mm-hmm,
called apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
The apostasy has been sped up exponentially by the closing of the churches.
Yes.
There are multitudes today that their churches are still closed.
Yes.
Thousands of churches across America are still closed. And the pastor's silent. The pastor's not willing to take a stand. The pastor's still hiding in the closet and under the bed. And as a result of that, the people have been deceived into believing that silence is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
They've been deceived into believing that the churches and the Christians ought to be silent.
Yes.
And yet, when you go back to the total truth of the Word of God, some use the term that we need to preach the whole gospel, the full counsel of God. In doing so, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we cannot leave out our relationship and our responsibility as citizens, and as citizens, how we ought to respond to government that will try to squelch the voice of the Christians. Most are not aware, Dan, that the Biden administration has already established a commission for domestic terrorism, a commission for domestic terrorism. And in that commission for domestic terrorism, they outline who are domestic terrorists. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at now an excerpt from that. One of the things that is listed that is called religious extremist.
Yes.
Religious extremist. And ladies and gentlemen, that would be Christians. That's who we are. We are radicals. I'm a radical. I have a radical view of the scripture. And that word radical simply means I believe what the scripture says is what God means for it to say. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I'm a fundamentalist radical when it comes to Christianity and spirituality. I stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God without apology. And that ought to be the way every Christian stands and what we ought to take a stand for. But with the condition we're in today, Dan, what should we do? How should we respond? What are your thoughts at this juncture where we are?
Well, in our last visit, I made the statement. Who owns the church? Does a preacher own the church?
No.
Or does a congregation own the church? Who has the right to decide what type of a minister they want to support? What kind of church they want to have? So I'm calling on the parishioners to go to your pastor and say enough is enough. The silence of the church has allowed...
Need to say to the preacher, grow a spine.
Grow a spine.
As J. Vernon McGee used to call it, we have too many panty-waist preachers.
Yes. So in doing that, I see that maybe there's hope in turning back the corruption or turning back the social decay. Our silence has allowed our entire culture to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's come out of the closet while we're in the closet.
Right.
There has been nothing good come out of government other than Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
But those are but two men. I believe that Obama left in design the final destruction of America,
mm-hmm.
that Hillary Clinton was supposed to be able to
be heir of.
Heir of, yes. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump kind of threw the screws to that plan.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what they just did in this election, 2020, Joe Biden, like you say, is on the fast track to regain where Hillary was supposed to be.
That's right.
And if we don't come out of the closet, preachers, if you do not seek what God wants you to do, then why have you? Why in the world do we even have a church if we're not going to use it to a victorious turnaround of
Absolutely.
America?
Absolutely.
And that's what the founding fathers are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at, whoa, hey, this is past, this is present, this is your future.
Mm-hmm.
So please, on behalf of our memories and our blood and our devotion to building this nation, please join and make that stand, one and all. Make the stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What are your thoughts on what Christians ought to do today? What are your thoughts and suggestions that you would like to share with dialogue and discussion as to where we are? Now, I'm not trying to demean denominations.
No.
I'm not trying to demean pastors.
No.
I'm speaking from the standpoint of the fact that our nation is on the very verge of being destroyed. We're about to go into socialism, Marxism, Maoism, communism very quickly. Do you realize that the Biden administration has just determined to set up what they call big tech cities? Let me just Dan, I'm going to take a moment to share this with our listeners. Democratic governor plans to bring back company towns for big tech companies to run. On February the 3rd, the governor of Nevada announced his plans to create what's called innovation zones with the aim of bolstering the economy of Nevada. These zones would effectively be towns that are completely run by big tech companies. Quote, the zones would permit companies with large areas of land to form governments carrying the same authority as countries, including the ability to impose taxes, form school districts, form courts, and provide governmental services. That sounds, this writer says, that sounds suspiciously close to tyranny. Unlatched tech companies being able to run a town and make decisions typically reserved for our local governments is not how our country was intended to work. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the formation of what will ultimately be the form and style of government-run United States of America, mm-hmm. where government will own it, government will control it, and we the people will simply be slave servants to the oligarchs running and operating the system called our government in America. I believe we have Tammy on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I wanted to just share that after watching our pastor and different pastors across the country basically lean over due to the pandemic, my challenge, and because at first, whenever it happened, I was actually looking to our own pastor to see what kind of guidance he was going to provide and everything. And I think that's what a lot of the congregation has done, is they've watched for the pastor to give a sign of, okay, this is what we need to do, because technically there are leaders in spiritual battle. So I believe what's happened is because the pastors are staying silent and they're not challenging their congregations to, you know, on what to do and how to do it, then in essence they're doing nothing. And it's really sad, because now we've waited so long that when we start saying we're going to do something, it does appear to be more battle-like. But my challenge would be to any pastor that's listening to this is, like you said, I mean, I don't want to be mean and say grow is fine, but, you know, grow is fine. And let your congregation know what they're supposed to do in a time like this. I mean, this is the time that we're called. I mean, it's like Esther's time. We are being called to go out and take a stand. It's just mind-boggling to me that the pastors are worried about what the parishioners and what the congregation is going to think. So what? The bottom line is they're called to be a catalyst and a forerunner for the priesthood and do what God wants them to do. And it doesn't matter what the congregation thinks, God's going to provide. And if they do what they say they believe and that they trust God, then they need to get off the horse and they need to do what they have been called to do.
Amen. I like the way you put that. That is so very poignantly stated. And I believe that is what is needed today. Because what you're saying, Tammy, if I can interject this thought, is that the pastor is God's under-shepherd. And the under-shepherd over the flock leads the flock, and the flock is waiting for direction, waiting for a sign, a signal, a statement from the pastor in the pulpit for them to know what thus saith the word of God and what we ought to do. But if you have silence from the pulpit, you have the flock that is in disarray and is without a shepherd to lead them as to where to go and what to do. This is part and parcel of the problem, Tammy, as I find it in America today with our pastors. Too many of them have continued to hide under the bed and in the closet, afraid that they're going to do something that would be antithetical to what the government says. And yet Peter said so clearly, we ought to obey God and not man. And it's time that we obey God and not government and what government is saying. Because we have acquiesced as a church, nationally speaking, we've acquiesced as churches, as Christians, and the government has seen now that we will close the churches at their whim and wish, and that bodes very, very poorly for where we're going in the future. But Tammy, I'm thankful for your words of insight and wisdom, and thank you so much for calling today, and continue to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the subject, seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I'm really enjoying you and Dan's conversation. But I'm thinking one of our areas of recourse, the vote, the ballot box, it's gone. Yeah. So it sounds like we're going to be just a bunch of barking dogs. You know, Bonhoeffer barked at Hitler, and Hitler killed him. Yes. The only thing these people in Washington understand is force. On the radio, I can't think of his name. I know it as good as my own. But anyway, he's saying that God has no time. Let's just wait. That's an alternative, but I don't know if that'll work.
That's ludicrous. Whoever that was, it's a ludicrous, foolish, non-biblical statement. That's not what we should do as Christians.
David Jeremiah.
Oh, I disagree with him.
Me too. I do too.
He's a great man, does a great job in his pastoring, preaching, and teaching. There are a few nuances and areas that he and I totally 100% disagree. And I've said behind closed doors, when we get to heaven, we'll see who's right.
Yeah. Don't you think the founding fathers also knew the same scripture that Jeremiah was quoting about wait on the Lord? Don't you? That wasn't written after the revolution, that scripture. It was written before.
That's right.
And when the founding fathers saw it wasn't going to get any better, it wasn't going to get any better as long as King George was alive, they had to do something. And I think that's where we're at now. 75 million people voted for Donald Trump and his policies. The policies of Biden is globalist. They want a one-world government and a one-world order.
Tom, you're exactly right, and you hit the nail completely on the head, if I can use that cliche, because what we're watching is the setting of the stage. And listen very carefully for you and for our audience listening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not advocating that we need to go out and start civil war tomorrow. We're watching the nuances and the fast track toward that, lest God intervenes, because this is the reason today you have gone from 26,000 now to about 6,000 or 8,000 troops surrounding the Capitol in the White House with wire and razor wire on the top of it and fences around it, is because Biden knows what he is doing. He's fully aware that he's setting up a police state, a martial law authority over we the people. And he's getting ready for what he knows with his actions will come about in America, lest God intervenes. My prayer is, Dan, and Tom, I'm praying that God will intervene and will not necessitate the civil war.
Yes.
But lest God intervenes, lest there's some turning back, unless there's some changing of administration by some fashion, some movement by the hand of God, we're on the fast track for that.
Yes. Dr. Youngblood, the only alternative I see is what Texas is probing at right now, and that's to secede from the Union. Their Constitution says if the U.S. government ever ceases to be for the people, by the people, that Texas has the right to secede. So that's my only idea, is I would certainly drop the blue state of Florida and go to Texas. That's the only alternative I see. That might wake them up in Washington. It may be, you know, the Confederacy all over again.
Well, that's a good illustration of where it would head. And as you know, there was an attempt for a secession by the southern states, and that brought about the Civil War before.
Right.
And I think mm-hmm. we'd see the same thing with a movement of the south, southeast states being attempting to secede. Dan, what do you say to that?
Well, before we go to the far extreme, why can't we just start with the basics of understanding the truth, being able to stand together and recognize that the truth will set us free, but only if we're united, only if we allow God, the great power that he has, to wake us up. Let's pray for a great awakening. Let's pray for a great spiritual awakening. Let's put the motion of a revival mm-hmm. at work on our behalf.
That's so needed. Absolutely.
Why not start where we need to start?
Dan, you got 75 million people that are woke up.
That's right.
How many more do you need? But how many more do you need? We've got the finest attorneys telling the truth in Washington, D.C., that Donald Trump did not start a riot, but they just twist whatever's the truth. They turn it 180 degrees. They shout it, and they say it long enough to where it becomes the truth.
Yes, Tom, let me jump in. Let me jump in on that, by the way, and our listeners may not be aware of this. They played the video of President Trump's speech on January the 6th. Do you realize, do our listeners realize, they excerpted the portion of the speech where he asked them to be patient, to be kind, and not to do anything that would be rash or bad. He asked them to do that in a sense of just a movement asking for the government to hear us. And yet they accepted that completely from his speech.
Rise up in spirit first.
Yes.
Before you rise up in anger.
Yes, absolutely. That's so needed. Tom, listen, brother, thank you so much for your call. And continue to keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Dan, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast today. But I just want our listeners to understand. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just give you a brief snippet of where we are with the Biden administration, lest you are not aware of it. He's expanded murder by way of abortion at taxpayers' expenses and is now indicating on a global basis that any help funding from America to other nations will be on the premise and the basis and the requirement that they also fund abortion on demand.
Yes.
He's made the sodomite agenda the law of the land. He's used big tech to silence the voices of every American today with no more freedom of speech and no more freedom of religion. If big tech, by the way, he has instituted in his transition team and now on his whole agenda to be carried out in Washington, 14 of the previous big tech's executives now are running the United States of America out of the Oval Office with the behesting of Biden as president. He's opened our U.S. borders to all illegals. He signed 43 executive orders, all of which are absolutely weakening in America and emboldening Chinese government to take over. He's declared war against all Christians, all conservatives, through the Commission of Domestic Terrorism, which includes what he calls radical extremist religious. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be praying. We need to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and then will I heal their lands. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again we face the issue.
21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.